And that's just inner city. I was born and raised there. And South Philadelphia, right where the Eagles play. I am an Eagles fan, you Pittsburgh fans, all right? I won't hold that against you, 0-4 record. I'm sorry. 1-3, you did win the other night. I did forget Monday night. All right, there we go. But anyway, you know, stonemason by trade. I didn't follow religiously the path that I probably was chosen to by parents. But then the Holy Spirit got a hold of my heart at 25 years old. And so now look where he has me. It's all his doing. I'm a sinner saved by grace. My beautiful wife, Catherine, of 19 years, is with me. And boy, she puts up with me. Amen. You don't know how bad of a sinner I am. Go talk to her. And then my oldest son, Christian, he's home. He's on house arrest. No, he works a job. He couldn't make it. But he is 18 years old. Then my daughter, Gianna, she is 16 years old. Then Ethan, he's 12, and Lucas is 8. And Everly, we just lost a baby. She lived for 7 days, not even a year yet. Her name was Everly Hope, and she's in heaven. And I'll see her soon. And that's up to the Lord how soon. Amen. I don't want to leave these kids yet. But man, I lost my joy when I lost Everly. She was a beautiful little girl. She had a disease called encephalocele. A part of the brain grows on the outside of your head. And we went to the best hospitals in the Philadelphia area, Children's and CHOPS, and they promised us the world. And then they saw her and said, no, we're not going to do a thing. And they literally froze her to death. Later on, the Lord sent us a believer who was the neurosurgeon. He's top in the world. And he said, she's got everything she needs to live. She's going to make it. Take her home, enjoy Thanksgiving. Bring her back in on Monday for surgery. And then about 8-9 years, we'll discuss the skull as her brain grows and her head grows. And we were excited. And we went home, and a day after Thanksgiving, we had to rush her back. She was 30 degrees when we got her back to the hospital and not doing well. And then she passes right in our arms, and we sang, Jesus loves me, and the doctors hushed me. Dr. Lie, that's his name. He's such a liar. But he hushed me. He said, shh, you can't sing like that. Your religious beliefs, keep them to yourself. And man, about 2 minutes went by, 3 minutes, and he wanted to pronounce her. So he came in as I'm holding her to pronounce her dead, and she filled with life, came right back to life, and she lived another 24 hours. So God did have a miracle done. We were praying for a miracle, and that was the miracle. He gave her to us for 24 more hours. And then the second time she went finally to heaven with the Lord, we were already professionals. We know what it was like to hold her. She went. So we had a lot more peaceful time with her and sang to her. Find out later, it was a septic infection that killed her. Had nothing to do with the brain. So the doctors stole my joy. And life can steal our joy, and sin can steal our joy. And boy, it's nothing like a miserable believer, right? And man, I'll tell you what, I'm a pastor of a church now going on 4 years in Philly, so they're miserable already. You know, you smell the air down there, you know, like we smell manure and we think that's bad. But the chemicals we're breathing, we glow at nighttime. You know, you can't lose your kids in the city. They glow. They drink the water there, and they just glow, and you can keep your eye on them. But I lost my joy, and I was then asked by Pastor Rich Unger, who I love, and they're great people, and man, you got a blessing. Amen? The Lord really led you there. But he said, you know, I'm going to do a revival, and he didn't know what we're going through, and I'm like, how am I going to do a revival? I'm so miserable. I have no joy. And then the Lord led me to Psalms 51. David was experiencing a loss of a baby, going through the same miserableness because of sin and other things in his life. And the only thing he wanted revived, and by the way, revival means to renew. He said, God, I want my joy renewed, my joy restored. And it hit me. That's what I need, because I was miserable. I wanted to go to the hospital and you know, hunt those doctors down. I'm Italian. Hey, yo, right? Got some godfather in our family, you know? Now I know God the Father, and I can't act that way, but hey, do you know who I am? You know, I'll hunt you down. But anyway, I didn't do that. And I do have a license to carry, and I was excited that I was still in PA today to do that, but it's not on me now. Amen. But man, I lost my joy. And the Lord said, look at David. He lost his, and he wanted it back. And then the Lord gave me the recipe to get my joy of his salvation. Now, I didn't save myself. Amen. And sometimes we want revival and we think a fancy preacher, screamer, loud singer, whoever is going to give us the revival. And when we feel good. We make good decisions. We walk out of the church, and a week later, we're miserable again. Right? We go right back to the old ways, the old sin, the old habits, whatever it is. And the bitterness. Sometimes it's just bitterness and unforgiveness. That happens a lot in church. Amen. And boy, we just lose our joy. And if you don't have joy in what you're doing, you might as well not, what? Do it. That's another, you'll hear me say, might as well. That's as might as well, right? We cut words out, all right? So hang with me. You'll think you're at an auction when you left, but get Jesus, he's free, amen? We got one going, one gun tight. But in a city, if you don't talk fast, you don't get your point across, all right? You got to be fast. So I'll slow down a little bit. My wife's usually my interpreter, and she'll stand here and re-say everything I say slowly, but anyway. So I asked the Lord for it back, and so I thought working harder as the pastor would get my joy back, and it didn't. And then I thought, all right, I'll just serve harder. And boy, if you're serving, it'll make you miserable. Because if you're not serving God, you're just serving man. And man can make you miserable, right? Who left this out? Why did you? I'll be like really happy I built something in the church, and then everybody will complain about it. Right? Boy, it'll steal your joy. So we can't put our joy in. So I needed my joy revived, and I kept looking for things to revive it that I can do. And then the Lord said, a dead man can't revive himself. Have you ever seen a dead person revive themselves? Never. And if you want your joy revived, anything you can do to revive it will never happen. And God said, that's exactly why David is saying to me, Lord, you restore my joy, because I cannot do it. David got tired of trying to restore his joy. So the Lord gave me a message called REAL, R-E-A-L. I can spell REAL. And in the city, we say something like, we're going to be for real, right? We're going to be real. And I was fishing this, I love fishing. I'm a city slicker, I love fishing. So I'm down the shoreline in Jersey Shore, and I'm trying to catch striped bass. They're hard to catch. You know, the lure in, you got to really get them going, get them running. But anyway, just couldn't do it. And I was casting my line as far as I can cast, and finally, man, I got a big bite. Bzz, my line started to run. I set that hook. I went the reel, and my reel was broken. And I lost the only fish that bit my line that day. Talk about frustration. I was angry. There went my joy down the bay, right? Not happy at all. And then all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit said, there you go. You can't catch anything that I have for you if the reel is broken. See, you can try to get whatever you want out of the Word of God and try to get whatever you want out of each message and try to get God's grace and try to get God's love and try and try and try, but if your reel is broken, you can't catch a thing. You need to reel it in. You need to make it yours and claim it as yours. And so the Holy Spirit said, you got to be real. Your reel can't be broken. If it's broken, you'll never get your joy. You'll never catch it. It's there for you. Man, I got peace like a river. I want to catch that peace. But my reel was broken. And so God said, be real with me, and then I'll fix your joy. And so we've got to learn to be real. So that's what the Lord has given us here. David, in Psalms 51 and in verse 12, simply, we're going to stay in Psalms a lot, 51. Tomorrow in the morning, we're going to continue this message. And then tomorrow night, we'll finish it. That's I'm a long-winded preacher. Amen? I'm an Italian Baptist. Look out. By the way, I'm King James only. I hope that's not offensive. All right? King James only. But that's okay. If you have something else, hey, open it up. Psalms 51, verse 12 says this, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. David is saying, Lord, I realize I have no joy of my salvation. Restore it unto me, and I'll be full of joy. We sing it all the time. I have the joy down in my heart. Notice I point here for heart, because this just pumps, right? Thank God it's pumping, or you wouldn't be here right now. But your heart, the Bible's speaking about, is the mind. I tell people it's like a piano. A lot of churches have pianos, but not everybody knows how to use the piano. That's like a brain. Everybody has a brain. Not everybody knows how to use their brain. I was a stonemason by trade. I didn't have to use my brain, just a tape measure and a straight eye, and I can make a cut. Amen? But I didn't have to. And so I tell people that God's not speaking about the brain. The brain stays here on earth when you leave. I buried Everly. Her brain stayed in her body. That's right. She didn't take it. Her soul, though, went to heaven. And that's what the Holy Spirit is speaking about to you in the Word of God. When he says soul, he's speaking of you. Or he says mind, you. Heart, he's talking about the emotions, the intelligence, and the will. The decision maker. He's speaking directly to you. And so what you see is not the real me. Amen? But when you hear my soul speak to you, that's how you get to know me. And that's how we get to know the Lord. And so, man, the Lord is saying your soul needs the joy. And Nehemiah knows it. You know what he says? The joy of the Lord is my what? Strength. Yeah, man, we need strength. I need strength or I'll hurt those doctors. Or, man, I'll think evil. I drive by that hospital every day almost. I can just see it out my windows. It's not a good thing. And it can steal my joy. So I need God's strength. God's joy. And Everly was a gorgeous baby. You could see, I'll show you pictures. I'm not this fancy. I wear a tie clip. That's just her initials. Everly Hope Nina Panichetti. November 18th was her birthday, and she passed 7 days later, 6.5 days. We call it seven. So God gave her to us for six, and then she rested with him on the seventh. That's how we look at it. And it's not even a year. So I'll cry about it still, or I'll have a bad day, but I have joy now. That's okay. And God is in control. But how did I get this joy, and how does David get this joy? We're going to see in a second. Let's ask God to bless. Lord, we thank you for this time. Now I ask you that you bless this to our hearts. Help us to hide it in our heart. Lord, that we may not sin against thee. Anything that is not of faith is sin. I ask you that we believe the words that we're hiding in our hearts, that they may work in us and through us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, the first thing, are you ready? I won't keep you long. We need to reveal our secrets to God. Reveal. You go to a doctor for open heart surgery. He wants you to reveal to him the symptoms, right? Oh, my hands are numb, or I got some pain down my neck and right side of my body. And man, I'm just out of breath. See, you're revealing to the doctor the things that are bugging you. So the doctor will know the secret things and then know what to look for. You know what Psalmist says later on, David? Search me, O God, and know my... know my heart. Man, you don't want to get to know my heart some days, right? But God is saying, I can't fix your heart unless you're open-hearted with me. Man, a lot of times our kids will catch them doing something big, right? And they're sorry because they got caught. But they got a little thing. I remember one of our kids stealing a big bag of cookies, right? Taking it up to his room and eating them, playing his game. And boy, we were trying to find him. He's putting the other ones in his pocket, so we get the big package. We get the obvious thing away from him, right? And then later I hear him still chewing. What does he go up? Empty your pockets, and here comes the chocolate chip smashed cookies. Man, that's what we do to God. We give him the obvious. We give him the hatred or the bitterness. Or man, sometimes we just give him the lack of reading and praying, the lack of service, the lack of giving. And by the way, they're all commands. We're given the obvious things. This is my problem, God. And God says, no, give me the secret things. Give me the things that you've been holding on to for a long time. Maybe it's that childhood memory. Maybe it's that unforgiveness. I had unforgiveness towards those doctors. I still struggle at times with it. And I go back to this. Lord, help me. These are secret things that'll destroy me. I can't have them. I need to reveal them to you. God already knows, but he wants to see if you're honest. You know why? The truth shall what? There you go. Not just the truth of God's word, but when you're truthful with God, Jesus, the word, it'll set you free. Man, the truth sets us free. And we're living in a society today. If you don't stand for truth or give the truth, it isn't going to set you free. Man, you got bad friends? Be truthful to them and it'll set you free from bad friends. You got bad company? Be truthful. The devil comes and lies? Be truthful. The truth sets you free. And so God is saying, you want this joy? Be truthful with me. I already know your problem, but I want to know if you know your problem. Dr. J, Dr. Jesus, you can't hide anything from him. He's the master. But he says, I can't set you free unless you're ready to be set free. And when you're ready to be set free, you'll reveal the things that you're hiding. You know, I'm not saying go reveal them to the pastor. Please don't tell us your problems. I tell my people all the time. They're not my people, by the way. They're God's. Amen. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. I'll make a mess of God's word if he doesn't guide me, direct me, and use me. But I tell them all the time, please don't tell me your problems or I'll tell you mine. And then you'll never come back to this church again. All right, I don't want to know your secrets. Go tell Jesus Christ, who died and shed his blood for you, your secrets. And so, man, David says this, beholding, I was shapen in iniquity. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity. I used to use this verse on my dad when I was a teenager and got in trouble all the time. It's not my fault, Dad. I was born this way. It's your mom's fault. Amen. You made me a sinner, right? If you wouldn't have kissed, I wouldn't have been here. It's not my fault, Mom and Dad. And my dad would correct me more. I was mouthy, got in trouble a lot. Still do, amen? But he says, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest, listen to this in verse 6. What? Thou desirest truth in the inward parts. Man, so many times we act like we're being honest out here. How you doing? Oh, I'm doing good, bless God. You're not being honest. How you're truly doing in your heart, right? Some are honest the other way. I'm doing terrible. If you have time, sit down. I'll tell you how bad I'm doing. Man, misery loves company. Jesus is saying, oh, just be quiet and be honest. I already know. Don't waste your time. Don't make excuses. David, just be honest and I'll restore you. Reveal your secret to me. Reveal the secret things. Man, so often we're honest with God with the obvious. He wants to know the secret. Second thing, we're almost done. You got to reveal your secrets to God. The second thing you got to do is eliminate all excuses. How many times are we honest with God, but then we blame everybody else? Well, God, you're right. I do hate that sister, but do you know what she did to me? Or man, I hate those doctors, but do you know what they did to my baby? And they neglected my baby. Listen, if I would sue them, I'd make millions of dollars. But then how am I going to win them to Jesus Christ? They live in my neighborhood. I walk by them through they walk right by my church. Imagine the pastor suing them who preached the gospel to them. I had to sneak my baby to the NICU in a food cart because they wouldn't accept her in the NICU. I tried to disguise her as another baby in emergency. They caught me, of course. Maybe sit outside the NICU with her for a full day, feeding her with a look. Man, they neglected her. They froze her. They didn't want to help her at all. They didn't weigh her. They didn't do blood work. They said they did. Man, they neglected her. Man, and I was making excuses to God for my bitterness. They neglected her. I should be bitter. I want to hurt them so bad, God. That's what I would say. I told my wife, look out, I'm going to jail. You know, I'll have a ministry there. I don't care, right? I was making excuses. How many times do we make excuses? I love that song. It's not my mother, not my father, but it's me, oh Lord, standing in need of prayer. It's not the preacher, or not the deacon, but it's me, oh Lord. Whoa. I love the church to sing that one all the time. On Sundays, I make them sing it so I can hear it. It's not who? Not the preacher, not the deacons, but it's me, oh Lord. That's right. It's your problem. You need to eliminate excuses. Stop blaming everybody for the way you were born. You were born a sinner. That's right. You were born with a sin nature. Everly had a sin nature, by the way. That's why she died. She couldn't escape that nature. But she never committed a sin and never did a thing good. Never was a Baptist. Never was a Mormon. Never was a Catholic. Never was religious. And yet the grace of God took her to heaven. And when she died, as I sing Jesus Loves Me, she lifted up her head. They said she'll never cry. Cried with a loud voice. Wah! Looked up, opened her eyes as wide as she ever did and went with Jesus Christ because he was there with us. See? Stop eliminating the excuses for your problem. Man, if you, by the way, eliminate excuses, that's what God likes. He don't point fingers. Matter of fact, on the cross, he said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they've done. Stephen, as he's being stoned, said, Father, don't lay this upon them. Don't put this on their charge. Man, so many times we blame people for evil that we do. It wasn't me. It was him. My kids do that all the time. He made me say a bad word. Okay, and it came out of whose mouth? Yeah, I spit in everywhere. You have to sanitize this place, all right? But look what David says in Psalms 51, verse 3. For I acknowledge my transgression, personal pronoun. That's not bad for a stonemason. And my sin is ever before me. Three times he takes personal ownership for his sin. Me, my problem. I'm my biggest problem. Abraham Lincoln, when he was running for president, they said, Abe, who do you fear the most in this election? You know what he said? I fear a man named Abraham Lincoln. You are your worst enemy. You're the reason you say the things you shouldn't. You're the reason you're bitter. You're the reason you're miserable. You're the reason you don't serve God. You're the reason you don't have faith. You're the reason you don't have joy. It's you. It's me. It's me, oh Lord, standing in need of prayer. It's me. It's me, oh Lord. I sing that with our church too. But I make them say me, right? Standing in need of prayer. Yeah, you are your problem. Stop blaming your mom. Stop blaming the way you were raised. Stop blaming your habits on somebody else. Eliminate all your excuses and tell God, I'm my biggest problem. I am my biggest problem. David says in verse 4, against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. It's me. Man, he revealed his secrets, and then he said, it's nobody's fault, God. Nobody made me do this thing with Bathsheba. I call her Bathsheba. Nobody made me do this thing with her. I did it. I thought it. I looked. I took. I killed. I'll tell you, take care of the I in your problem. Man, look out. By the way, I have one eye, so my eyes cross when I'm talking to you. Ignore it, all right? My church don't know who I'm looking at when I'm preaching. I lost it at 16 years old playing paintball, so I'm used to it, all right? But it is a real eye, fake pupil, and you'll see that different coloration. But the Lord always reminded me, my eye
and the problem.
And you know how I lost my eye? I disobeyed my parents at 16 years old, a teenager, when I thought I knew everything. And that was without the internet. Kids, teenagers these days with the internet, they do know everything, right? My kids are teaching me things. I'm like, what? How'd you know that? Anyway, man, I thought I knew everything. My mom said, you're not going, you're not staying. And I fought with her and I disrespected her. And my dad said, let him have his way. And I got my way and I lost my eye for life. And by the way, I had scholarships to play ice hockey in college at 16 years old. I was really good at ice hockey. I loved it. And I lost my eye and I lost that. But God knew what he was doing. But it reminds me all the time. Man, take the beam out of your what? Oh, God said, you have an eye problem. See, we thought we had a heart problem. Learned real quick it was an eye problem. Amen. It's me. And when I got down to David saying it's me, guess what he then does? A, he's revealing his secrets. He's eliminating all excuses. He's not blaming Bathsheba for taking a bath in the open. He's blaming himself, isn't he? And then he says, you need to ask in faith. Ask in what? Faith. David said, wash me and I shall be. You know what he's saying? Lord, you got to clean me, God. If you don't, you're a liar. See, I've been revealing my secrets to you. I'm eliminating all excuses to you. And now I'm asking you by faith. I know you can do it. That's how you truly get revival, by the way. It's nothing you can do. You need to ask God to do it. That's right. You need to ask God to do it. And ask in faith. James says it, right? Believing is everything. David says in verse 7, purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be what? Whiter than snow. Whiter than man can do. Be better than a man can clean me. Better than a pastor can clean me. Better than some rich prayer ritual that I do. Dear Lord, forgive me my sin. Wash me your blood and cleanse me. Man, no, you get real with God. Keep it real with God. Reveal your secrets to only God. Amen? Reveal them. Eliminate all those excuses. Don't blame it on anybody but yourself. And then ask in faith. God, I'm a sinner. And while I was yet a sinner, you died for me. And while I'm yet a sinner, you make intercession for me. Your blood was shed for me. It's still there for me. I need the blood. Man, we just sang, there's power in the what? There's power in the blood. James 1:6 says this, but let him ask in faith, nothing what? Wavering. Get your hand and go like this. Yeah, us Italians, we talk with our hands. Some people think we know sign language. We just don't. We just talk with our hands, right? And so I'll ask somebody in church, how you doing? Eh. You know what that means? They don't know how they're doing. They're eh. I call them sea Christians. We have seashore Christians. Some are in the sea. Their faith wavers like this. One minute they're walking with the Lord. They know they're forgiven. They know God loves them. They know he's faithful. They know he can't lie. They know they're clean. And then the next minute, oh, they don't know they're clean. Man, they don't know God loves them. They don't know God forgives them. Then the next minute, back on the, man, they're ready to go, right? They're back on shore. Then they're back in the sea. Then they're back on the shore. That's like our faith, isn't it? Man, you got to have faith. Jesus says, don't waver when you come to me and ask me to forgive you. Don't waver. Don't go like back and forth. Believe me. I am God. My word has put the sun and the moon and the stars where you look at them today. My word keeps them. And if I keep my word because they are kept by my word, then I'll keep my word with you. You come to me. You get washed and I'll forgive you. John 1:9, right? If we confess our sin, he is what? You know, that says he's full of faithfulness. He's faithful to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from what? A-L-L, the stain lifter, that's all. Man, he'll clean you from all your unrighteousness. They're those things you think God wants from you that he doesn't. Your righteousness to him are as filthy rags. He tells a church in the book of Revelation, the church of Ephesus, you better return to your first love or I'll take my candlestick from you. That's a church doing the work of God. Man, they're doing everything for God. They're a servant, but they got no joy. And he says, return to your first love. Man, do you remember the day you first got saved, how much joy you had? You couldn't shut up about it. You had to tell everybody about it. You couldn't wait to read your Bible. You couldn't wait to serve God. Now, Al, how's your Bible reading? Now, how's your service? How many are you telling about Jesus? If you don't have joy, you won't do a thing for him. The joy of the Lord is your strength. You must ask God by faith, nothing wavering. Don't come to God and say, I know you'll forgive me, but I've been pretty bad, God. He don't want to hear that. Man, so many of us are in the sea. God says, stand on the shore. Be sure I'll forgive you. Be sure I love you. Be sure, be sure, be sure. Stay out of the sea of unforgiveness. Stay out of the sea of doubt. Stay out of the sea of unmerciful. Stay out of the sea of no grace. Be sure that I love you. And Peter was sure. He got on the sea that was, and he walked on water. Water. Amen. Peter walked on water. I don't know what you say he walked on, but it was water. And Jesus, we don't know how far he walked, but we know as soon as he took his eyes off of Jesus, man, what happened? He sank. And Jesus said, oh, ye of what? Yeah, you got to have faith, man. Don't have a little, have a lot. Amen? It's a buffet. Go get it. Faith cometh by hearing, and here it comes by the what? Word of God. The more I hear the word, the more I believe God. The more I believe God, the more I receive God's truths. The more I receive God's truths, the more I am set free from my sin, from my guilt. Man, you don't think I'm a sinner? Come live with me. I'm the worst sinner in my church, and now I'm the worst sinner in this church. Sorry. But you know what? A just man falls down seven times, and he rises up. You know how I get back up? The faith in Jesus Christ. Faith in his promise. Faith in his word. If God don't forgive me, he's a liar. If God don't use me, he's a liar. If God don't fill me, he's a liar. And boy, that fills me with joy. Joy unspeakable. I have the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Down in my heart. That's where it's at. How's it in my heart? Because I hide God's word in my heart. Real. Are you revealing those secrets? Are you eliminating all your excuses? Are you asking God in faith, knowing he has to do it? And then lastly, L. It rhymes with lastly. Amen. Lastly is this. Ready? Here it is. It's the hardest part. Just let him do it. Let him clean you. Let him cleanse you. And let him have your problems. Cast all your care upon me. I care for you. Cast your burdens upon Jesus. He cares for you. Cha-cha-cha, right? Cast them upon Jesus. And then forget about him. Paul said, one of the biggest sinners we know in Scripture, said this one thing I do. What does he say? Forget about it. Forget about it. I gave it to God. He's on his throne. Have faith in God. He, what? There you go. He cannot fail. He must prevail. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Don't have faith in your pastor, faith in your church, faith in your prayer. Have faith in God. Have faith in God's word. Claim God's word and let the word do the work. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. He that begun a good work in me will perform that work through me. It has nothing to do with me. He's begun that work and he'll do it. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. It took him just a week to make the moon and the stars. You believe that? 1 week. 6 days. Literally 6 days. He created the whole universe that you see, that you touch, that you breathe, that you walk on in 6 days. And yet, he's still working on me. And here's the reason why. We're just simply not obedient like the sun and the moon and the stars are. When God said it, they obeyed. When God says it, we need to let him do it. Let him do it. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter. I am the what? I am the what? I am the what? Can the vessel say to the one who formed it, why did you do this with me? Man, he made me this. I didn't want to be a preacher. I grew up in a preacher's home. I saw the disrespect and the hate. Amen. And the mess ups and the failures. Man, I didn't want to do it. And 26 years old, laying on a couch, addicted to my Oxycontins, abusive and nasty. The Holy Spirit said, what are you doing with my life? That's not yours. You gave me that life when you were 8 years old. It is mine. I've sealed you. I bought you. You better do what I want done with that life or I'll take it. Whoa. And he didn't say he was going to take the spirit from me. He was going to take my life. His life. Amen. I said, all right, you win. It's your life. 7 years later, the Lord sends me out to pastor a church. I was a deacon during those times. Oh, yeah. I wasn't being honest. I was hiding. Yeah. I acted happy. David says this in verse 10. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Tomorrow, we're going to talk about creating. Man, okay, once you reveal, once you eliminate excuses, once you ask in faith, and you let him do it, tomorrow morning, you're going to come, and we're going to find out how he gives us this new heart. This created new, clean. David, a man after God's own heart. Yeah, David, the failure. David, the murderer. David, the adulteress. David, the killer. David is a man after God's own heart. Whoa, are you a man and a woman after God's own heart? Are you after the heart of God? Wow, think about these things. If you want joy, the Bible says you must sing for it. If you want joy, you must sing for it. Right? I don't sing good. But I sing so you think my preaching's good. Amen? When I sing, I'm like, whoa, I'm done. I didn't keep you too long, I hope. I know I speak fast. But hey, I'm only speaking the word of God. And God's word is like a hammer. And it'll go into your heart and into the hidden parts and it'll break it apart. Boom, he starts calling you. Boom, he starts working. Boom, he starts breaking. And he says, give me your sin. Give me your guilt. Give me it. Give it to me. And he breaks you apart. You give it to him. You reveal it to him. All right, all right, all right. I'll give it to you. And then he says, all right, now don't blame anybody else. It's you. You're the problem. And I'll fix your problem if you ask me in faith. All right, Lord, I want me to be fixed. Fix me. Fix me. And then he says, all right, my spirit in you is going to do it. You just get out of the way. You let the master, mind of the master, be the master of your mind. You let him have control. And that's what he started to do in my life. And now I'm at a revival telling you how to do the same thing. See, I don't practice what I preach. I preach what I already have practiced. It's true. The Holy Spirit said that's what you need to do. Don't practice what you preach. Preach what you already have practiced. See, he that heareth the word and don't do it is a what? It's a fool. It's like a man who goes into the mirror and the mirror says, pop that zit, comb that hair, brush those teeth, fix your tie, zip that zipper, button that button. And then you say, okay, I'll do it. And then you walk away and don't do it. Break the mirror, get rid of it. It's no good. You're not listening to it. God's word is the same thing. When you get in the word of God, it'll tell you what he wants done. Just let him do it. Say, God, I can't do this. He says, I know. That's why he came to me. Let me do it. He which begun a good work in you will perform it. Know ye not that ye are the temple of the Holy Spirit? Paul says, what? Know ye not that the Spirit of God dwells in you? The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead? If the Spirit of God that rose a dead man from the grave lives in me, he'll revive my joy. My joy that is dead, he'll bring to life. He will. I just got to let him do it. What are you afraid of? Give it to God. Amen. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Thank you for your time. Lord, we thank you. We praise you. It is you that we need revival from. No man has ever raised himself from the dead. But Lord, you have been raised by the Spirit of God. And I know the Spirit lives in us believers. And you can revive our lives, our spiritual walk. You can revive our joy. I ask you that we'd get real with you this evening. That even now as we pray that we'd reveal our secrets to you. And that, Lord, we'd eliminate all excuses. And that we'd ask you by faith to wash us and to cleanse us. And then I'll allow you to do it. To get out of the way, to stop thinking you won't, and just let you clean us, let you fill us, let you revive our joy, that we may be filled with the joy that you've given us. Lord, I ask you these things. As the preacher comes, you can close.